But you know friends. And I feel like I'm among friends. Now, I hope I don't preach and set my hair on fire. I never heard that before. Because I don't have many. I got one of them donut haircuts. Got a hole in the middle. So, Ecclesiastes, if you would please, in your Bible. I didn't hear what time you're going to get out of. That's a long time for me. Yeah. I believe Solomon wrote this book. Very wise man. I don't rip, roar, and scream and holler. Sometimes I hear a preacher preach and I go back up yonder and try to preach like him. I just mess things up. So I'm just me.
Amen, brother.
Your daddy scared me often. I go back and try to preach some of his messages, and man, it just scared me. I was so glad when I was finished with it. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Verse number 1. To everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Verse number 8 is a little phrase there I'd like to drop down to. We'll try to park there a little bit. Verse number 8. On a time to love. The Bible teaches us about love. I didn't know what love was when I got married. Just got out of a motorcycle gang. Because I didn't want to get married and be in the gang. So I called my wife up one evening. She was working in a shirt factory. It was about 2 o'clock. I worked in a tar shop. Recap tars. We had never talked about this, nothing. I said, would you get my girlfriend to the phone? They brought her to the phone. I said, hey, Hattie, that's her name. Said, you like to get married? She said, yeah. And we had been going together ever since we were, in elemental school. And I picked her up at 4:30 that afternoon, went down to Lancaster, South Carolina, got her license, got married in 3 days. And it's been, I didn't know how to love her. But I hope she don't die before I do.
Yeah.
We learn how to love. Excuse me. We learn how to love reading this book. For our Father. For God so loved the world. You may die and slip off into hell, but you'll never do that unloved. Ezekiel 33:11 says, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Even the bad folk, God said, I'm not happy when they slip off into hell. Bible tells us men ought to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. I don't know that we do that all the time. That's why we got to be stirred up with preaching. Got to be reminded. It tells us men ought to love other men. Not the way the world is loving. I'm not a promise keeper. I don't hug nobody's neck and trying to tell him everything about me. We confess our faults. We don't confess our sin. But we're to love, especially our neighbors. John told us that we know we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Thank you, preacher. The Bible tells us that Christians ought to love other Christians. You need to hear these things every once in a while. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. I tell you, it's terrible in the churches today how people can sit on this side and sit on that side and won't even look at each other. Since being up yonder, we've had 2 splits. And God's always, he won't let us get too big. We get up there about 40 and he'll start something and cull us out. And there come another crowd come in there. We're running about 35 now. I'm nervous about getting up to 40. And I just don't like splits, but God brings them back. But you know, Paul said, now by the faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, or we know that says love. Follow after charity. Let all your things be done with charity. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of purpose. In our text this afternoon tells us there's supposed to be a time to love. Time to love. I want to give you several things about love, and then we'll be finished here. But I appreciate you letting me speak. Man, you got some of these great preachers here, and I'm a nobody. And you won't have no problem understanding what I say when I'm finished, because I can't get too deep. I'm scared of stuff like it. But let me say, first of all, love your church family while you can.
Right.
Every time we come together and then we leave and go out that door, there's a mighty big chance that you may not see one another again.
Right.
James says our life is a vapor that appeareth a little time and then vanisheth away.
Right.
Could be you or the person sitting beside you. You know how we talk to people. Said so-and-so just died this afternoon. Said, I can't believe it. I just talked to him last night. How many times have we left the bedside of a brother or sister knowing when we walked out of that door, that room of the house or at the hospital, we'll never see him alive again.
Yes.
Maybe we'll stay right there until the last breath. Sometimes that breath gets down to about 3 a minute. Then we've been there when we watch it go to 2 a minute and then 1. And then we start singing. You've done it, preachers. You've been there beside them. Your church family is the folks you're going to live together forever with.
That's right.
Oh, God help us where we can't fight. Oh, we're not to be fighters. Listen, life gets so busy, you don't need to forget those that loved you first. They'll always not be around. Love them while you can. Love them while you can. Remember how you treated them. Teach you kids how to treat you. You know, one fellow said you better treat your kids good because they're going to choose your nursing home. And we all go to those places. And them folks look forward to seeing us. They may not smell too good. They may have food dripping down their front. They may be in a mess. But we all they got because their family put them there. And they don't come and see them. We try to encourage them. Things like this we learn too late in life. That regardless of your relationship with your church family, your parents, your children, your neighbors, you'll miss them when they're gone from your life. Church has been good to me and my family. The churches that help us stay there, that support us. And then the church folks up there, the native people. I always stress to my children how much the church loves them. Sometimes they may not feel like it, but the money that the church has given to my daughters and my son to have to take care of dentist and doctor bills and car repairs and food gifts and house repairs, things like that. I want my children to know, and things just don't fall out of heaven. A lot of times the church has come to our rescue with open arms.
Amen.
Thank you, church. Love your church while you can. Remember this, if the church has the blessings of God on it, Satan's going to fight it. If it goes after souls, passes out tracts, the devil's going to fight it. If it holds the old doctrine of faith, Satan's going to fight you. If people love you, love one another and get along, Satan's going to fight this thing. He don't want you to have a meeting this week. Every time we try to have a meeting up yonder and have a meeting up yonder, a week or two before, things start tearing up in people's houses, cars breaking down, things just break, things just tear up. Now, whether God's in it or the devil's in it, sometimes it's hard to figure that out. But Jesus said men would love you, his disciples, by the way you love one another. I don't know why people are in such a hurry to get out of the house of God. I'm telling you, I've been in some churches before. If they say the last amen, you best be in a good hiding place back there at the door.
Yep.
If you're going to shake hands, about all you do is a shake. Got to go.
Yep.
One way to know if a church is blessed and happy is how come folk stay around after the services.
Amen.
I love it, buddy. But when I see folks dart out the door, they either got business or something. But I like it when I have to go by and flip the lights and say, all right, son, we got to go home sometime tonight, folks. I've seen them go out of the church, look like they're going to a far. All you get to see is they're, I heard old brother Ronnie Simpson said they come in, they back in to the parking lot. They back into the parking place, said they already got their mind on leaving before they even get there. Huh? I'm saying love your church while you can. Vance Havner, bless his heart. He said he's seen happier faces on iodine bottles than he had seen in the church. People! I heard Oliver Green's brothers preaching at our home church, Brother Bobby Leonard. Oh, he's a rough preacher. He said, he was preaching a big way. We was all sitting there scared to death. He said it. Said, if some of you people go home tonight and watch Matt Dillon with the face you got on, he'll shoot you through the TV screen. One night his preaching, people wasn't responding. It's kind of just sort of a dry service, Brother Bobby's. And he got up there and he's a preaching away in a big way. You know how he does, you know, just, you know. Directly he says, Bobby, send them home. Just like that. And I mean, bud, Brother Bobby got up and said, let's sing a dismissal song. It just like it, just cut it off like cut the water to drip. That's just the way some of the old preachers are. They wasn't responding, but he didn't. One preacher said a man was saved because he said, I love you to him. Now understand, we're not talking about that funny stuff.
That's right.
My pastor, every time he calls me, Brother Blinder, and he's hanging up, he said, I love you, Tom. I got some pastor friends in Canada, old Brother McLean. He'll call me and just said, I just want to tell you I love you. And hang up.
Amen.
You ever told somebody you love them?
Amen.
You ought to tell somebody you love them. Shock your attitude and character. Tell some young person or some older person that you love them. Get down to where the little folks' eyes are. And spend some time. Don't be in such a hurry. Man, we need young folks. Tell young folks. Tell older folks that you love them. Take some time. Slow down. My parents never told me this. I think my parents loved one another. But you know, that's why we don't know what to say. Me and my wife, hi Swanee. I'll go to town and be gone for about an hour or two and come back in the kitchen. She spends a lot of time in the kitchen because she likes to cook. And she'll attack me wanting a hug or a kiss like I've been gone on some fishing trip for 3 or 4 months. It's just the way it is. She loves me that way. We touch each other. We love each other. We kiss each other. Our children, let us hear. Listen, love your church family while you can. One day they'll be gone. Love your song leader. Amen. Love the sound man back there. Or the sound, I can't see that far. It looks like somebody different in there. But you know, that's one of the most unthanked, unappreciated jobs. Hardly anybody looks back at the sound man. Unless something goes on with this microphone. Woo, woo, wee, whoop. Then everybody looks back, look like their face has got 10 horns. And what's the matter back there? Can't you listen, thank God. Love your sound man. Love your soldier. Play the piano player. You ever been to church and they didn't have a piano player? I have. It's about like, you know, a dog, a three-legged dog. It's just kind of, you know, a service. You got to have a piano player. You got to have some music. I mean, pray for this stuff. I know what it's like. That's why I learned how to play the guitar. Well, I didn't learn how to play the guitar like that, but it sure has been a help. Thank God for your piano player. Love the people that do the bulletin boards. Love the people that decorate tables. This stuff not done by elves at night. Folks come in, church time, they look around and says, who done this stuff? People stay over. People stay over. Love the people that clean the church. I'm just telling you about people that just go sometimes unthanked and unappreciated. Hey, it's work to run that vacuum cleaner. I know because I clean our church and help clean it. God knows how a good testimony to church. You look around, and the devil hates a good testimony. Clean this clean, keep it clean. Love the people that count and deposit the money. Amen. That's time consuming. Somebody's got to do that stuff. It's dirty work. Money's dirty. You got to get with it. And then they got to go deposit it. I'm just trying to be practical right here. Love your Sunday school teachers. Just don't say it. Love them. We have a big Sunday school do up there for our teachers. Great big sign out there where they see it as they pull in the parking lot. Welcome Sunday school teachers. We've got a special place on a Sunday they can sit. We make cake and ice cream and give them special gifts and show our appreciation to our Sunday school teachers. There are so many people in the church that needs an I love you. Don't just say it, show it. I mean, how about the folks that bring you to and for church? Somebody that brings you to church, somebody that takes you home, they need to thank you. I love you every once in a while. Love your pastor. Toot, toot. I mean, sometimes we have to say that. But I believe you loved him. I believe you love him already. It'll show. You can't hang around a pastor in a church long without you knowing the folks love the pastor. He carries a lot of weight. They need to know you love them. Sometimes the devil gets awful real. I feel like I could throw a songbook and hit him every once in a while. Every once in a while, we have children that bring me pictures right out of fresh out of the Sunday school. Made this for you, preacher. I just don't throw that thing down. I find special places. I got one they made, put their handprint, then they cut out cloth and glued it on a little flag that hangs down, brought that to me. Those are the things you need close by so you can look at them every once in a while when you get in the valley. Love your church family while you can. Secondly, love your parents while you can. If you don't, they'll die and it'll hurt you until the day you die. I know a lot of folks today wish they'd spent more time with mom and dad. One day they'll call and say, mom just passed away or daddy just died. Satan's a good one to keep you all tore up. How many times I sit on the edge of my bed and my wife walking the floor, it's 2 o'clock in the morning wondering where my son John is. He can so easily pick up the phone and say, and then when I try to call, he won't answer, won't respond. I can almost hear the music playing on the organ, smell the flowers at the funeral home, and the devil says, John just got killed in a wreck.
Yeah.
Our son's not where he's supposed to be. I believe he needs to be saved. Raised up there with us. He's gone out. I'd hate for my son to go to hell.
Yeah.
Every time we leave our home, we could be the last one. I used to like to go off with a bunch of hunter brains and long heads and hoodlums when I was 15, 14 years old. And they were bad news. My daddy, he couldn't stand it. They'd make fun of him. I'd slip off in the house. My daddy told me many times, he said, son, you'll look down in my coffin one day and wish you'd have hung around the house more. And you know what? When they laid my daddy's estate, I walked up there and those words hit me. I wished I'd have paid more attention to my daddy, my mama. Don't let your mom and dad die and you stand there at their coffin and said, I wished I'd have spent more time with them. I know about a mother went to get some pizza for her children. She said, I'll be right back, was killed instantly. My mother had 2 sisters that were burned to death. My mother woke up that day and Grandpa was going to go down to the store. My mama, my sisters tell me, held on to the bed frame, said, no, I don't want to go, don't want to go. She didn't go. Well, my grandpa took the 2 girls, the twin sisters, and went to get some gasoline. And while the fellow was pouring gasoline in the old time vehicle, he had a lantern holding it there, and it got into that, caught the car on fire. My mama's sisters was asleep in the back. They couldn't get them out, burned to death just like that. If she hadn't said no, she wasn't going. Things like that just happen, just like, you know, you don't have no control. Things like it. Love your church family. Love your parents. Then here, thirdly, love your children while you can. Oh man, they quickly grow up. My children's 37, 34, and 23. My grandson lives 18 hours away. But we're going to go see him at the end of August. He'd be 2 years old. Grandkids can make grandparents act funny. I wished I had it to do over again, raising my children. I raised everybody. Preacher, we get busy raising everybody else's children in the church and preaching after them, going after them, running after them, and counseling them while our own children are sitting somewhere. My wife spent the majority of having that school with other people's children. I was talking to my son, John. He said, "You never took me fishing, Dad." I never shot a gun with him because I was always trying to help everybody else. Hardly ever at home.
Yeah, you're helping.
Love your children while you can. Then, fourthly, love your husband or your wife. Love each other while you can. Old Jacob, he worked 7 years, maybe 14 years for Rachel. It's not long when you love. If you love each other, time passes fast. Don't speed things up. Don't put your arm around her and not married. Amen. There'll be plenty of times for stuff like that, that get that mushy stuff. Me and my wife get mushy. I better not. She's such a dear wife. I love my wife. And I know she loves me. I tell her, I said, "Why do you do for me the way you do?" She said, "Because I love you." Her mama was the same way. Her mom was the same. We have precious memories. Precious memories. I hope these things can be a help to you. I remember some of the things growing up just like some of you folks. We didn't have a whole lot. The only firewood we had was we rented a place and the fella said you can pull the planks off the side of the building and burn if you like. We'd pull them off. Couldn't afford fuel oil. Every once in a while we could get a 55-gallon barrel and we'd run that to the ground. Wake up in the morning, be so cold in there, the goldfish be dead, froze. Have that barrel turned up on its end. Get everything you can get out of that barrel. That's just the way things were. Some fella told me, we didn't know when the depression came because we had already so poor we didn't figure anything like that happened. My wife is my best friend. My best critic and best encourager. When I get through with a message, sometimes I'll say, "How'd I do?" And she'll lie. No, she'll say, I can tell by the way she talks. Some preachers' wives say, they don't lie. They'll tell me, say, "Well, you flopped tonight." While I can. I'd like to take time and tell my wife in front of everybody. I like to tell her I love her. And before all this congregation, I want you to answer me. Am I the best husband you ever had? She was just an old country girl. And I was an old country boy. Her daddy was a farmer. And she had never really been to town till she met me. She often wondered what those bright lights were over the hill, other side of the mountain. One day, I took her to the Hardee's. This is back when Hardee's just started. They used to have the pointed top buildings, you know, those old, and things like Auto Burger, big old burgers on car wheels. Man, I'm through preaching. I don't even think I preach much tonight. I just more or less shared my heart with you. Kind of just brought it down into low gear. The thought is love them while you can. Those folks that you're planning on telling that you love them, they may not be here tomorrow. You can find somebody to tell them that. It won't hurt you. It won't hurt you. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, I am so glad you loved a nobody. When you loved me and my wife, thank you for the churches and the pastors. Lord, it's hard to have friends that love us like you love us. But Lord, most of us could say we got friends that would, we could name five people, Lord, that would give their life for us right now. If I needed a kidney, there's folks that say, I'll give you one. If I needed a blood transfusion, there's folks that say, I'll give you my blood. David said, thy gentleness hath made me great, Lord. Thank you for being so good. Bless this pastor and all these preachers that will come and preach this week. Lord, and encourage these dear folk here at Victory. Thank you for their sweetness. Thank you, God. In the Spirit of the Lord, in His precious name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.